Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But I say, I've been looking forward to this one all season. It is the 2023 debut of one Daniel Lake, the big Lakey son. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing okay, mate. I can't say I'm good. I can't say I'm bad, but I'm hanging in there.
No, that's all we can ask for, mate. It's so good to hear your voice on a Tuesday night. I've got used to this over the last, what, two, three, four seasons that you and I?
Yeah, we're almost getting towards marital status.
Mate, I think after a while it's de facto and we just default. I'll have half your stuff. Thank you very much.
I'll put you on my tax records. That's fine.
Really shitty dog, actually, if you want. Really needy one, too. There you go. Yeah, we've got him muted at the back there. But if you feel like picking up a dog from our de facto relationship, there you go. Supercoach, how's it going for you? You've had a little while away. You're not focusing hugely on it, but is that working for or against you?
Yeah, I've taken a bit of a Nick approach to this season, and Nick and Wenin approach. Obviously, regular listeners and followers of the site know I've been going through my stuff, so I've stepped away from it a little bit, but it seems to have worked in my favor. I was top 1,000 after 2 weeks,
huge,
which ballooned back out, and then I've come back into what would I say it was, 8.7K or something like that at the moment, without really following it or watching too many of the games.
That is absolutely huge. I think I'm 25,000th, and I've watched far too many Cowboys games than I care to admit. But, yeah, it's been a long, arduous season for me. And, yeah, I've been doing these pods every week, and you're just sort of coasting in the background. I think it's basically cemented our theory that the less you pay attention, the better you go. And I don't know, you follow the crowd, ask whoever. But there you go, 8.7K
exactly
lofty.
Right. We make the big mistake every year of writing the mega guide, and you talk yourselves into guys that are just rubbish. I.e. Jackson Paulo of last year was my pod, and he stunk. If I had just jumped on him this year, I'd probably be winning the comp.
Fast forward another year. Well, I had Jamal Fogarty, mate, you might remember. It's probably good that I wasn't on the pod. Very well, because, I mean, Sam Walker, he's see you later. We'll get to him later this podcast, but I thought it was either him or Fogarty, and luckily I went on Fogarty for those early rounds. Really cemented my lofty position of 25,000. But then other guys, actually, you know, we talk about the mega guy and how funny it is, the people we lock into, but I had, God, who's that Tigers guy that's now left them and he's up at the Titans?
Kenny Marlow.
But the big Kenny Mahomes, I thought for sure he's on that right edge, or he's just ready, he's firm, and he had a horrible season with injury. Goes and gets injured in the trials, gets replaced by Brent Naden. And I thought, I'm going to swoop in on that. But that worked out okay for about 1 or 2 weeks. But really, it's been a strange old season. And I know we just spoke about how long we've been together, but did you ever think these guys like Jake Granville, Sean Johnson, these kind of characters were going to be some of the highest value players? Jack Randall, probably not in that realm.
I was going to say, you're really reaching for that one. But SJ's been incredible, hasn't he? These guys are turning back the clock a bit. I never saw – SJ's always had the pedigree, and he's got the history on his side. Yep. But, you know, you look at his games, his back end of Cronulla, and he still put up a few good games, but then his first game back first season back at the Warriors last year, and you just went, this guy is heading towards retirement. He's lost it. And absolutely wound back the clock. He's loving footy again. You can see that in his post-game interviews. It's just great to watch. I love watching the big man run around, and it's good when he's on the up and the Warriors are on the up.
Not so great for me last week, but anyway, well done, SJ. But no, it's one of those years. It's a crazy old time. Everyone's gotten used to Volandi's ball and teams are on the up. The friggin' Broncos, you and I haven't had to lament it together, but I have been. I've had Stilesy on the pod every now and again. Like, he's absolutely on the up. But you know what? It's April, mate. No one wins premierships in April and no one wins Supercoach in April. So we've got a long, long way to go. Great to have you back. I'm feeling good about the round eight pod. So a little bit to get through. You have been back on the, I guess not the airways, but the, I don't know, the website sphere, the web sphere to show my age.
Man, I just want to jump in and say it's really nice that you've improved your professionalism in my absence.
Thank you.
Yep.
I really do appreciate that, Matt. I've been working all off-season. I've been trying to improve myself. The ranking has kind of tanked, but I feel like my ability to run this pod is just seamless, as all the feedback suggests. So thank you. Thank you very much, Lake. It's great to have you back. I never get that kind of feedback. But we'll talk about the round eight team list. You've been through that. You're writing the articles. It's great to have you back and easing the burden on my little fingers, trying to type away and do bicep hold and all that sort of stuff. Mate, I've bloody missed you, so it's great to have you back. And you've been there today with the Teamless Tuesday news. Fair bit to get through. We'll go into some ins and outs, some trade-ins. Honestly, before we get into it, I reckon probably a good week. If you have no fires to put out, unfortunately, I have one. If you don't have any burning, raging fires, good week to hold, right? Or not make trades.
Yeah, you can get away with it this week. It's no one else jumping out as a genuine cheapie or, you know, everyone wants to get the stars in as much as possible, but they're all sort of floating around at the same price points. So you can probably save a trade this week and start making plans towards the buys. They're coming up. Mm. You know, they'll be here sooner than we expect.
They absolutely will. I've done a little bit of analysis. When I say analysis, about 2 minutes of research into some handy buy teams. We'll go through them and then captains and vices to round us out. So the usual pretty stock standard SC report, so nothing out of the ordinary. But I think, Lakey, let's start with the buys. Had to throw something, as if you've been listening on.
I have, yes. I've heard your call out for help. It's on my to-do list. I'm going to come up with a few new drops for you in the coming weeks. We'll see how we go.
We used to have the news one, the news soundbite, but that's faded away from my little soundboard here. But nonetheless, the buy teams, we're getting to that pointy middle end of the season and starting to look at some of the buys. It's a little bit unusual this year because we don't actually need the full 17 as we have in previous seasons. So those origin buys that normally come, and they're kind of that area where you might target if you're in the realms of 25,000, like I am, you kind of target those weeks as... I got to get as many players in as possible. But this season, and I'm not sure if you're across it because, as you've said, you've been focusing elsewhere. But the buys this year, your best 13. Does that, before we get into the really good buy teams, does that sway you in terms of strategy?
Listen, no, and I'll be honest, I forgot that was the case. Mm. But, yeah, that's right. I say you can go a little bit earlier on nuffs, potentially, to try and get your, you know, starting 13 as strong as possible for those buy rounds. You're not going to be able to have everybody because, you know, all but one team has a buy during the big buy rounds. So you're going to be falling short somewhere and you need some cash generators there. But yeah, you can really go hard and just hope for the best. Throw a couple of pods in there and hope they really go gangbusters on that week.
I don't mind this season because I normally throw some random centre wing. I think one year it might have been Ken Mamalo, David Fusatua, these kind of guys. I think, oh yeah, bye weeks. You know how carnage the defensive lines can be. Chaos. And then you throw them in, you move stuff around, you just buy them purely for the buys and they score about 20. So I don't think you need to do that so far. At least get the really gun Kiwis, Englishmen, that kind of thing. Might be the play to go. But having a look at some of the buy teams, there's a handful who have pretty favorable draws over that period. So round 13, 14, 16, and 17 are all weeks where there's multiple teams on buys. Top of the charts, and we're not top of many things lately, but the Cowboys play all of those rounds. So when you've got, you're scrambling to find time, find teams and find numbers, get players in, the mighty, mighty Cowboys, and I can't imagine we have a lot of origin guns this season, but we play all of those heavy buys. Does that mean immediate number one trade in Jake Granville?
Yeah, I mean, if he gets named in the prop rotation as he did last week, I just don't. Can I ask before we launch into something I have not missed? What the hell was that decision to play him in the front row last week?
They got him in the record
switched out Cohen Hess and put Granville up front with Cotter, if I'm not mistaken. It's just, it just boggles the mind what they're thinking up there.
It nearly worked. Let me just say that it nearly worked, mate. Only 8-point loss. We'll claim that.
It's possibly your closest to the year, but yeah, he was actually scored fairly well. He's not going back to his 2015, 2016 days where he's being a key contributor to your spine. I think he was playing hooker back then and putting up some decent points. He's not getting back to those days, but genuine moneymaker if he could stay at prop. Similar to what I said about Ray Stone in the write-up, you know, he got put into prop and scored 45. He's not going to break the bank or anything, but he can absolutely make some money across those draws. And so if Granville can stick with it, yeah, you could ride him up until what you guys have the round 15 buy. You're not going to have too many players missing that. And then they play on the final major buy round of round 19. You can trade him out for the run home.
Huge. And, I mean, he's always an origin risk, just given how good he is on Jakey G.
I do want to say, having said all that, it's not something I condone. I'm not trading Drake Granville in.
No.
But there's I've done crazier things, let's say that.
I mean, stranger things. It's 2023. It's a weird old season. But, no, Cowboys really favourable buy. But in terms of buys, there's not a lot of players we'll talk about later in the podcast, but Jakey G, a little bit of interest so far this season. This week, Jack Kaczewski, another one on the potential periphery, I think, there that we'll speak about. But outside of that, the guys like Val Holmes, Nane, they'll all play Origin, so correct. Not a lot
so
to love.
Maybe the big ones you want are going to be in Origin. Tomalolo, like, I'm old enough to remember when Tomalolo was an out and out superstar. Which is just absolutely not the case at the moment. And he's, you know, jumping into the team stuff. He's out for the next few weeks with a knee injury that he suffered, what was it, 4 weeks ago? He's just sort of been playing through it and hoping for the best, but it's caught back up to him.
Absolutely. Explains a fair bit. He's been very, very underwhelming and normally a huge bye week target. So not to be this season. We'll get into them. Couple of other teams that I've picked out here for the bye coverage. The Warriors, the Mighty Warriors, round 13, 14, and 17, they all will cover you. So they have the bye, I think, round 12. So if you can target some players for round 13, maybe Wade Egan's healthy at that point. He's been killing it. SJ, as we've spoken about, the likes of Tohu, who'll be playing, won't be playing Origin. Really good guys to target for the run into those byes. The Finns. So the likes of Tommy Gilbert might be an Origin risk, but for a lot of their players, Hammer Time, those kind of guys, if you're thinking about turfing them, Lemuelu, those kind of players, they do play 13, 14, 17 as well. So really crucial weeks when you don't get that benefit of having your top scoring 13 only. This is where you've got to play all 17 for a couple of those. And then Para. A lot of people speaking about these guys having a pretty handy run. They play 13, 16, and 17. So again, reasonably tough weeks to get a hold of players. So Para, they're sort of on the way up, while some of the likes of the Cowboys and Finns maybe on the down slide. So worth having a look. It's at that pointy end now where we need to start thinking about these guys. Are you buy planning at the moment?
No, not extensively. There are a couple of guys I've got on the radar. Ryan Madison being probably top of the props at the moment. But then you look into, as you said, Parramatta play on all the major bye rounds. They play the three Origin weeks where half the comp's missing. But where it's a bit sneaky, round 14, the week after the bye, the first big bye round, they're on the bye. That's their first week off with Newcastle and Manly. So you could theoretically have a team with, you know, Turbo and Garrick, Olakau'atu, you got Marzu there. I don't know.
Lockie
no one
Miller.
Ponga at the moment. Yeah, Lockie Miller. Safidi was popular at the start of the year. These sorts of guys. Phoenix Crossland has come into calculations after
brought
being
brought him in.
Yeah,
brought
that's
him
it.
In, mate.
So if you've got a team full of those guys and then you start loading up on Parramatta Eels, it could bite you in the ass in round 14 when you do need 17 players. So just something to be aware of if you are going to start targeting these guys, because it could come back and, you know, you could be flying in round 13, but it could haunt you in round 14.
Could absolutely be worth while keeping a boost up the sleeve. I've burned through about 3 so far. What about yourself?
2 at the moment.
Not bad.
Yeah, well, you're simply not paying attention to the competition. It saves you the hassle of major trades.
Regular listeners would know I've burned through terrible decisions and, regretting that big time. But anyway, I'm sure I'll be fine, but come around 27, Lakey. It's a long, long season.
It's a long season. So it's three, four more than we're usually accustomed to. So plenty of people playing victim at the moment because they're way down in the doldrums, yourself included, but plenty of time to make it up for.
Absolutely. All right, let's get into the Teamless Chuso news for round 8. Just throwing that one in there. Haven't played that for a little while. No real JT Sunday raps.
15 minutes. I'll go through team by team, but I'll keep it very short and to the point. The Rabbitohs playing Panthers on the Thursday night. We've got an extended round here. So, yeah, Rabbitohs Panthers start us off on Thursday night. Keon Kolomatangi was the victim of a hip drop.
Natty Butcher.
It was Ray Stone, wasn't it? So it wasn't penalised and he hasn't caught anything out of it, so it wasn't a true definition hip drop tackle, but Keon's been sidelined for 6 to 8 weeks or something like that. Nasty. He's out of the side. Coming back in to replace him is Michael Cheekham, who hasn't been sighted in a couple of weeks. He's nice and cheap and playing on the right edge for the Bunnies. And Isaac Tuitupu Thompson, the middle name sort of always throws me off, but he's back on the right wing with Tane Mill getting a seat. For the Panthers, everyone, I don't know about you, but Zach Hosking was a close watch of mine, worrying about if he was going to get replaced. Luke Gunner did not get up last week, so Hosking stayed in the side, and then Liam Martin came back and busted his hammy again. So he's going to be out for a fair while. Hosking survives. Garner's in the 18 jersey at the moment, so it could change, but I think if Garner's going to come in, he's going to take Sorensen's spot on the other edge. Lindsay Smith comes onto the bench.
Yeah, I don't mind that for as a Hosking owner, actually.
Yes, I was looking at trading him out. With the news that Martin and Garner were back, Hosking was possibly going to be sacrificed. The talk was that he was going to be back out of the side with those two guys, healthy and running around. So looked like Hosking's time in Supercoach was going to be very short-lived, but Supercoach gods intervened and have bought everyone a couple more weeks.
Love that. Thank you. Thank you, the gods.
Finally, they work for us and not against us. The Eels and Broncos, nothing major happening here. Josh Hodgson comes back in after being a late out with the flu last week and just caused a little bit of a shuffle around. That change to their game day lineup last week has reverted. Madison's been named at lock, Hopgood's on the bench, and Cartwright's in the second row. But keep an eye on Stiles' late mail because that could change once again. And for the Broncos, they got a couple of big names coming back in. Corey Oates is back after recovering from his fractured jaw, and Tommy Flegler, who copped a really nasty head knock a couple of weeks ago, has recovered and he's coming back in for the Broncos. So, they've already been KOTD'd all year when it comes to injury, but they're starting to get stronger still.
Yeah, it's a really great time of year. Love that. Cowboys 16th, Broncos 1st. You just got to love that. Thank you, 2023.
You're lucky there's 17 teams this year.
No, thank God. Thank you for the Tigers. Appreciate your work.
The Dogs, we might talk about this one a little bit longer because it is one of the major Supercoach points of the weekend. But Jacob Carraz suffering an MCL injury is going to be out 3 weeks. Haven't been able to jump on board, so that was something I was able to avoid. How about yourself? Are you an owner of Carraz?
No, same thing. I had far too many other issues to put out, and Carraz was just one of those guys sitting there not scoring a lot. Sorry, not scoring tries, but scoring a shit ton of points.
That's what I mean. I was, not that I watched a lot of Dogs games, but when I did, I was just praying he didn't get over the line because he was going to turn his 70s and 80s into a 150 unreal. Just like that. the work rate on the kid is remarkable, but he won't be seen for the next couple of weeks. He misses a couple of really nice games outside the Sharks this week. I think he has Raiders and Titans in the next couple of weeks. Well, the Dogs do. He won't be there, obviously. And then he comes back for the Warriors game. And following that, bear with me, I did just write it up. He's got Dragons Raiders the next 2 weeks. He returned for the Warriors with a massive BE and then played the Titans before going into the bye in round 13. So not great news for Karaz, but for non-owners, you could be picking up him in round 14 at a discounted price. It'd be quite handy.
140 break even, just play a couple of games and that six or whatever it is will roll out. Maybe good news for Alamotti. You've got Braden Burns in there and Declan Casey, who I don't think is he in the game as of this afternoon?
Yeah, Declan Casey's there. He's 265K, I think he is. So very cheap range option. But I don't know whether it's worthwhile grabbing a guy like Casey knowing that Karaz is coming back in just a couple of weeks. If it was anything longer, you'd go, yeah, no worries. I could probably throw him in as a downgrade option, but you know he's got a shelf life. I was just saying to you off air, I picked up young Jarrell Skelton last week as a nufty sort of thing with an eye to the future when Braden Burns was named. Because
imagine
up an injury. So it could be a case that Casey, you know, pardon the pun, but he's ahead of Skelton in the pecking order by the looks of things. And if Burns goes down again, which is every likelihood, Casey could secure a spot there until the Fox returns later in the year. So it's a gamble. It's a risk, but it could end up paying off for you.
And I'm not sure when the next the dual positioning updates happen, but he's currently only
heading into round 12.
Okay, that would be handy then. So should there be any more, I guess, long-term visibility on where he's going to sit? Could be a play fullback only, a bit iffy.
That's right. So coming into that first buy round, you'll have more certainty about Casey himself. I wouldn't be jumping on board yet, obviously, being his first game. But in a couple of weeks' time, we might know. And it only takes one game for Braden Burns to get hurt. So you might know before that.
Absolutely does. Have you liked the Sharkies so far this season? I thought they've just turned it around now that Nico's back. They're looking pretty handy.
They're looking strong. They were something like $2.30 outsiders against the Chooks last week, and I thought that's money.
Comfortable, so I jumped dub on board in the end.
That, and they did very well. The Chooks have been off the pace, and the Sharks just look strong across the park. They lost Toby Rudolph to turf toe, so he's going to be out for quite a while. But everybody else is pulling weight, so to speak. They got the BHU up the middle, who's a big unit. No one's going to stop him too much. Confusi and Royce Hunt can do a job in the prop rotation. Then, you lose your captain, Dale Finucane, to suspension, and Cam McInnes comes in and starts a lock. You're not losing too much, really.
Weird that teams like this don't want to play guys like Jake Granville and Tom Chester through the middle. I don't quite get it. What are you doing?
It's strange. They probably, to their detriment, they've got too much middle depth.
Don't you hate
as
that?
Opposed to you guys. Yeah, so they're trying to just give everyone some minutes, get some few feeding the lemons, I saw. But, unfortunately, it's working for them.
And the big game here, mate.
Huge one. This is
the Cowboys' bounce-back game.
Yeah, you'd want to hope so. If they were ever going to do it, it's against the Knights. But for some reason, we're playing good footy at the moment. Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, Jason Tomalolo out for an extended period with, I want to say, a knee scope. I don't exactly know what's going on, but they're cleaning up his knee in some respect. Jordan McLean comes back. He's been hurt for a little while, which is, pretty much his career summary today. So he comes back in at front row. It causes Ruben Cotter going to lock to cover for Lolo, and Jake Granville unfortunately misses out and goes back to the bench in a utility role. But don't know, that could change. Who knows? Jack Kaczewski's named on an edge. Perhaps on game day, Cohen Hess goes back to the edge and Jake Granville comes into his rightful number 10 jersey.
Yeah, this rightful prop jersey. Well, I think Cohen Hess is probably going to stick there for the time being. He had that trial at second rower throughout the season. We've just had that many injuries. But Gajewski's a natural second rower. So you've got Nane there as well. But the likes of Lukey being out injured, it's just been such a weird season for rotations. I think, unfortunately, Jakey G's trial in the starting side is probably one and done. But I guess Gajewski is probably the interesting one. Luciano Lua, nowhere to be seen until at least May, I think. So a fair bit of time still in there. Same with Lukey.
What is the go with Lukey? What has he done and how long is he out for?
I think the initial diagnosis was it was going to keep him out for at least a month, and that was a couple of weeks ago. So knowing the Cowboys, they don't tend to rush too many players back. So I think the Gajewski train has probably got at least 3 weeks to run. I think if you are for Supercoach, just give another week. It's a
absolutely. He's not on the only played the one game. He got 65 minutes and scored just over 30 points. So it's not a must-have territory by any means. And if he's got that, same as Casey we spoke about before, he's got that short shelf life because Heal and Lukey's coming back, then it might end up being a waste of a trade. He'll go back to a bit part player off the bench and be an AE nightmare.
Heal and Lukey, hamstring around 10 to 11. So you're not even going to get Gajewski for those bye weeks when you need him for. So.
No, that's right. So, well, Cotter's going to be in Origin camp, you would think. So, you know, there's potential.
Actually, Nane could also be there.
So. Nane's gone. So, yeah, you know, Gajewski could hang around, but I don't know. I don't know if you want to risk it for the in-between time.
Do it for the moment.
Yeah, why not? For my boys coming up against the bye, Lachie Miller. I'd say it's all pretty much stock standard. Kalen Ponga's back in at 5'8", which unfortunately pushes one of the premier 5'8s in the game back to a utility role in Tyson Gamble. He's gone back to the number 14. Kurt Mann comes in at lock, replacing Matt Croker, who's gone to the bench. It's just a straight switch there. And Jacob Safidi has served his suspension, so he's back on the bench as well. They've opted to keep Leo Thompson in the starting lineup for the time being, but I don't know if that'll last till game day. We'll have to wait and see.
It's what do you reckon? I mean, goal kicking is probably a query that people have. Lachie Miller, not the sharpest of shooters, and now the Kalen's back. Are they just going to ease him into things and keep it as is?
I don't think so. I think it'd be Kalen Ponga. The only concerns with his kicking to start the season was he was coming back from a leg injury, some surgery on his ankle and whatnot. So basically, if they'd said then if his leg was okay, he'd be doing the kicking. Now he's been out of the game for since round two, so what's that, 5 weeks? And it was the head knock. So all the limbs, all the muscles, all the tendons, all those general injuries are all A-okay. It was his head that he had to go get right over in the States. So the body's healthy. I think he'll be given the kicking tee straight off the bat there, which you're right, it hurts Lachie Miller a little bit. But the way he was kicking him on the weekend, like we would have won that game against Penrith if he had a kicked even just one extra goal in regular time. But you're probably saving points by not having him do the kicking at this stage.
And what do you reckon about the big Greg Marju? I mean, he's been flying since he started, had a little bit of a quiet game by his standards, just scored 40 against Penrith. Yeah. But in terms of season-long holds, it's a rush to sort of do this with centre wings, but on that nice favourable left edge, is he a run home into round, goddamn it, 27?
Yeah, I mean, provided he stays healthy, and he's not the best on defensive reads. He can let him down defensively a little bit, which is what's kept him out of first grade to date. So if those start creeping back into his game, then he could be dropped at any moment. But the way he's going at the moment is phenomenal. His 42 on the weekend was all base and power stats, which is incredible. I said to a friend of mine on the weekend that his score that he had for Supercoach doesn't reflect the impact that he had on that game. His drive out of the back 20 was invaluable to the Knights, getting us on the front foot all game. And it's something that the Knights have been sorely missing from the outside backs for many, many years. And now with him and Dom Young back there fielding kicks and Miller pushing up through the middle, we're finally getting on the front foot early in sets and turning it into a productive 80-minute game. So I think he's there to stay, but in saying that, it does come with some risk. But, his attacking upside is, well, he's shown it. He's scored, five tries in his opening three games. Didn't get on the scoreboard last week, but still really, his floor at 40 to 45 is what you want from a centre wing.
Exactly. Takes far too many runs.
Yeah.
That's far too many runs, and you need that as a sort of basement leveler. But having a look at his tradeouts, 44 people trading out Greg Marju for the non-playing Jared Croker this week. Yeah. So there you go. Everyone just getting in early and Marju's not going to beat his 86 break even against the mighty Cowboys defensive line. So there you go. Enough about this game that I'm not looking for. I will actually be at a wedding on Saturday.
I was going to try and catch up with you.
I won't speak the language either. It's a Brazilian one. So anyway, no one else will understand why this really angry looking white, pasty white Australian guy is wanting to throw his phone across the room. But
well, at least the scenery should be okay.
Well, yeah, and the bar tap ends really early too. So anyway, not keen on that. Anyhow, it might be a long night. Anyway, Finns and Titans, let's move on.
Yeah, moving into Sunday. Not too much happening with the Finns. Kenny Bromwich is out for that weird tackle where he hit Tane Milne off the bomb. He just wasn't looking at all. But coming back in for the Finns is Felice Kaufusi and Jared Wallace to shore up their middles. Connolly Lemuelu gets another lifeline with Bromwich out for this week. So next week will be the time we really need to keep an eye on what's going on with that. And for the Titans, Jojo Fifita comes in, which has always been the concern for any Khan Pereira owners, but it's Aaron Schopp that's made way. Philip Sammy comes from the wing into the centers and Fifita goes to the outside of him. So Aaron Schopp's done something wrong to be given the cut. They've also lost Vuna and Isaac Farsul Malawi to get Thomas Michaeli and Cleese Haas in on the bench. A couple of bigger guys to shore up their middle by the looks of things. Nothing major super coach wise in any of those teams. David Fifita is a tough watch at the moment if you don't own him. Mm-hmm. But that's just about as far as it goes.
Speaking of tough watches, the big Tigers. Oh boy, thank God for them.
Jesus. Actually, it should be a bit of an interesting game, this one. A young fella by the name of Jareem Bulla is said to be a superstar in the making, and he gets his NRL debut at fullback. So it'll be a very interesting watch. He's basement priced, but he's fullback only. So as far as Supercoach goes, you're going to have to be getting rid of a Teddy or Turbo or Luttrell or, Walsh or something like that to run with this guy as your second fullback. And I don't think that's feasible regardless of, how cheap he is, because I don't think he's going to be putting up gangbuster scores like the rest of them.
How's Dane Laurie on the bench? That's so weird.
Laurie on the bench with Tommy Talau. It's a weird bench, that one. They've got Joe O and Alex Toile to play through the middle, then Talau and Dane Laurie to watch the game, I guess. I don't know. Honestly, Tim Sheens is the NRL whisperer, but Jesus, I don't understand what he's doing. Brandon Wakeham comes in at 6 for the injured Adam Dewey, not much else of interest there. But coming up against them is the might of Manly, I guess. Mm. Tom Dvojevic at the back could have an absolute field day against that Tigers team. Ruben Garrick's back in on the left wing, replacing Ray Vega. Tuamalo Vega. So he, just absolutely speared out of the line and took out Cam Munster and earned himself a 2-week vacation, but he wasn't going to last anyway. Ruben Garrick is back in the side. Josh Schuster has finally been named, but he did that twice, 2 weeks in a row a couple of weeks ago and kept missing the cut on game day. So Cooper Johnson, the 18, is his big worry.
And has he even played two games yet, old mate Schuster?
He's played two. He's played two. Jesus. He's got like a negative break even and has just been watching and waiting.
Yeah, I've had him in since round one. It's been a frustrating own.
Yeah, well, yeah, saved yourself a trade, I guess, but yeah.
No, it's cost yourself a bit of money. 20,000 spots.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Sean Kepi's back in on the bench too. I'm not sure why he missed out last week, but he comes back in the 15 jersey to play through the middle for them.
Hmm. I did see in your write-up, it's negative 31 break-even, but I had a look on the app and he's 33. So I thought, oh, this is huge.
For Kepi?
Yeah, Sean Kepi.
Yeah, no, I had him down as a 31 break-even, so you've just read that wrong.
Okay, no, naturally. It's been a long day.
Yeah, no, I do have it as a negative 31. I don't know what I've done there. But, yeah, definitely just on the wrong side. Like,
all right, thank you, Sean. Tommy Turbo, 117, and Ruben Garrick, 122. Geez, there's some quality players. Could also
brain that. They could absolutely turn that apart. So we were excited about Garrick coming back because of that eight that he's got it floating around in his rolling average, and he could lose some money, but every chance he hits a ton in this one.
Campbelltown, at least it's not Four Pines Park, because, I mean, that's an automatic 150.
Yeah. You say I wouldn't be watching it, I wouldn't think. And then because of Anzac Day on the Tuesday, we miss the Monday and then come back into the Tuesday for a couple of games, Sydney versus the Dragons. Sam Walker got the cut this afternoon. They've decided he's the problem for their last couple of games. They lost to the Sharks and to the Storm, I believe. And so they've dropped him for a game against the Dragons. I mean, if you're ever going to play a team to get back in form, it's got to be the Dragons, surely.
Or the Chaos.
Nat Butcher got a week off for his hip drop tackle on someone. I can't remember it now. But coming back in, big names. Angus Crichton has got himself right. It's great to see that he's taking the time out to make sure he's okay mentally and emotionally before stepping back on a football field. Said to have been training well and continuously throughout this time, and he came back through NSW Cup last week, got through well, and has immediately come back in on the edge where Nat Butcher was. So good luck getting that spot back, Butch. Then Satili Tupanua is also back, coming back from an ACL injury. He's on the bench at the moment, but I don't think it'd be too long before he proves himself fit and takes over Egan Butcher's left spot. And then Paul Moloroski is in the centres because a young kid by the name of Joseph Manu has moved into the halves to take over from Sam Walker.
That's such a bizarre, I still don't understand it and why Sam Walker was the scapegoat, but I guess Robbo's won competitions before, so it can't be that strange, but surely got to be a one-week and done thing.
I would think so. A lot of people are very excited about this Manu move, and it could be massive. It was 2 years ago he played the Dragons at the six and put on 190 points or something like that. Like, he just went mental. Plenty of people are very excited for that again, but then he's going to go back into the centres, I would think, before too long, because I don't think, Paul Moravsky is keeping Sam Walker out of the side.
No, and a strange season for Manu. So he had that absence with injury and then come back and 106 break even this week. Like, as you said, could clear it, but also I'm just not liking what the Roosters as a whole are doing. Teddy is not himself. Manu's not himself. It's a strange season. Hopefully the cavalry for them kickstarts some things.
And I think that's what it is. The outside danger men haven't had the platform to work off that they have in previous years. And JWH is doing a fantastic job for them, being a mongrel that he is. Lindsay Collins hasn't had the same push. And then you've got, the Butcher brothers on the outside who they're good, but, they're not Angus Crichton and Satili Tupanua good. Those guys are just dangerous every time they touch the ball. So with these guys coming back, and you've got Nathan Brown on the bench as well, if you wanted an additional prick type player to come back in and stir some things up. So, definitely getting some of the troops back. I did see somewhere that Dylan Napa is floating around.
Is he really?
Coming back from injury. So, I he's not in the Supercoach app. I don't know if he's signed by the Roosters, but if he can get himself right and he gets back somehow under the sombrero, then they're going to be very dangerous in the back end of the year.
Last I heard, he was at a mate's wedding and wasn't in the best first grade kind of form. But there you go. Although it's NRL, so who knows? Maybe he was.
I'll say, man, he's probably a walk-up.
There you go. Lost no form.
On the other side, the Dragons, there's very little Supercoach interest here. Probably their best player of the last couple of weeks has been Jaden Sua, and he is out. He copped a bum ankle from, I think it was another hip drop. So Ben Murdoch-Mastilla, who was dropped in final teams last week, comes back in onto the edge to play Sua's spot. But nothing in this side really interests me. You had Terrell Sloan score an 80-plus last week, and then 3 weeks ago he had a similar score, but between that he scored 15 points. So it's very much what you're going to get from him.
I didn't mind Jack Bird for a little while he was lock, but now he's moved back to the edge. Scored 60 last week, which is okay. But
60, and you know, I got a very good mate who's a Dragons fan, so I caught this game with him. Jack Bird spent most of his time yelling at his outside man for sheer defensive reads. So if that's going to be his gameplay, I think there are better options in your center wing. You definitely wouldn't have him in the second row, but if you could play him in the center wing, he had some appeal. But, you know, there's too many good actual centers and wingers these days to, well, you know, do the job far better than he is.
Look, if he had fire coverage all over him, but for now, yeah, watch and see.
That's exactly right. Grab him later date if need be. And in the final game of the round, Melbourne Storm, Nick Meaney is back at fullback, meaning that Cam Munster can go back into the halves where he's better suited. He didn't have the best game there. And Nelson Asofa-Solomona is back in the number 8, filling in for Tui Kamika, who earned himself a two-week holiday. So, yeah, not much of change there, but they're getting stronger as well. And on the flip side, only the one change for the Warriors. I was expecting a few more guys to come back when I sort of pre-wrote the Warriors write-up, and I had a fair few names coming back in. But all that's happened is Niokore's come into the second row, and Josh Curran's gone back to the bench. So that's caused, I want to say, Tane Tuapiki to drop out of the side. But, yeah, it's very stock standard for the Warriors, and they're flying. So this should be a cracking game.
Yeah, no, looking forward to it. I mean, the Warriors have been towered up a lot of Anzac days against Melbourne. So you've got a little bit of a point to prove here. But I thought against us, kept giving the ball away, but kept holding on. I mean, we're probably not at the same league as the Melbourne Storm, but it's a strange old year.
Well, say last year you were. So, I mean, if you had they played that same game against you last year, you'd have been very happy. The Warriors of old, though, the amount of ball that they gave up, they would have shot themselves in the foot and lost that 100%. Game by 15 to 20. So the fact that they were able to dig in and, you know, make a stand is huge for them, and it'll give them a lot of confidence. And you're right, like, the Storm have been absolutely destroying them in recent years, but this is a far better and far more confident side than I've seen from any New Zealand side, you know, going back 7 or 8 years. I think there was one stage where the Warriors were essentially the Storm bogey side. You know, they beat the Storm every time they come up against them, and I think they could give this one a real shake as well.
Looking forward to a good way to round out the round. All righty, let's take a quick break. Like, you come back in some of the trade ins and outs, and then finish with captains.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Trade Triple M rocking the footy there. Mate, ins and outs. We did say at the start of the pod, not a bad week to hang on to those trades. Think about it for later on in the season. But unfortunately, if you're like me, you've got a couple of fires to put out. I think starting at Matt Dury, one of the guys that I'm sure, like many people, I decided to go over the likes of Bryce Cartwright. We've seen how that's played out. But with a score of 6 floating in his average after getting maybe 2 minutes off the bench last week, he is a 300K anchor in your side that you must get rid of. A couple of other guys, I guess, Adam Dewey, if you've still got him in there, and Jacob Carraz. So maybe we focus our attention on some forwards, some halves, and then some centres. Firstly, if maybe we go to for the trade-ins. If you were to look at a centre wing for this week to trade up or trade down, Carraz to, who would it be?
I'd be aiming for Ruben Garrick. I think he's out and out the best centre wing in Supercoach. The way he goes about it, the way Turbo feeds in the ball, when Turbo goes down, he goes plays at fullback, and he's kicking goals in a high scoring side. So I know everybody is really enamoured with Joey Manu this week because of that 5/8 shift, and he could go mental this week, but. The fear for me is that Walker comes back next round and Manu goes back to the centres where he's been scoring 30s and 40s. So if I want a consistent long-term player, I'm going straight to Garrick.
Yep. I mean, it's fair play. I think the break-even will scare a lot of people off. But he's coming back from concussion, so not a structural injury or anything like that. We do know that can kind of linger. But I think, as you said, the Tigers, geez, this could be 150 points. And we just
could be huge. Mm. Could be absolutely crazy.
And oftentimes getting on these kind of players before they've got, a negative break even or whatever it is when the crowd jumps on them could be massive. I just know I wouldn't want to be coming up against anyone with that guy in the side. What about Campbell Graham? We did.
That's the other name I was looking at. And the only thing that held me off him is his price tag at the moment. He's had a couple of huge games, including that one against the Dogs last week, was it, where he went over 3 tries on the wing. So 780K at the moment. I think he's overpriced, but he's phenomenal. He gets the job done each and every week. He's got a high floor, like we were talking about with Greg Marju before. He gets through the work. He's a great defensive center, so he's never going to be dropped. He's only in 7 or 8% of teams at the moment, so he's right in pod territory. But you're really putting up bank to get him.
I kind of worry about, for his sake, the origin eligibility. So that might be...
Is a concern, but, they've shown in the past, the Blues, that as long as Latrell and Turbo are healthy, they'll be the centres. So they run that 3 fullback sort of configuration with a couple of guys on the wings. I don't think they're shifting Campbell Graham out to the wing for the Blues when you've got guys like Suwali and Dan Tupou and, the Fox is not healthy, but... Surely he should be there if he was. So, I think he's down the pecking order a bit. I think he'll be in camp. He'll definitely be in camp, but they should release him to take up his club duties.
And have a look at his runs. He's got Penrith, Broncos, Melbourne the next 3 games. So, decently defensive-minded sides. Broncos and Melbourne are both at Suncorp. But then beyond that, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Plays the Tigers, Para, Canberra, Titans, Dragons, Cows. And then the Warriors and Rams. Like, there's a lot of decent opposition there. I guess the Warriors, you lose Latrell and you lose a lot of that go forward through Origin and that kind of thing. But outside of that, and Cam Murray, these kind of guys, that could be the one downside. So I think Campbell Graham remains a watch. Just make sure he doesn't play Origin and make sure that price, as we know, one.
Yeah, I'd want it to level out a little bit. He's gone up 120K from his starting price, and I think he even dropped some cash earlier on in the season. So he's had a phenomenal run. But I want that to balance out a little bit before I seriously took a look at him. And it could happen over the next 3 weeks. Like you said, those next 3 games are tough. So every chance he goes back to scoring 40s and 50s, which is not bad by any stretch of the imagination for a center. But, it will bring his price right down and make him a lot more affordable.
A guy that I really like for this week, if I could afford a luxury trade, but Ronaldo Mulatalo. So
love Ronnie.
How good, eh? 700K, plays Dogs, Cows, Dolphins, Manly, your boys, the Knights, and the Broncos. So all through Origin, Broncos might be a good one to get in at home as well. But I think just the way that he's linking with Nico at the moment, and he's getting a lot of the work done. Sometimes it's one of those weird sides where, like, Katoa goes big one week, and then it's Mulitalo, and then it may be Talakai. But for whatever reason, it's ever since Hines has been back, Mulitalo is the guy to get the stats.
It's funny you say that, because Mulitalo plays on their left, and Hines, you know, he's a right half. I know he floats all over the field, but he does play mostly on the right, linking up with Britton Okoro. So you think if they'll be going to put plays on through Nico, primarily Katoa would be the benefactor. But you're right, Mulitalo gets through the work. He's got plenty of tries in his game, a fantastic run coming up. So, yeah, he's... he's only at 4% owned, very pod. It'll cost you 50K to go from Carras up to Mulitalo, but definitely someone I'd be considering.
Yeah, particularly for this week. The Doggies are so on demand. Like, it could be anything this score. So, yeah, if you've got the luxury, make that trade. Any other ones that we haven't considered for, I mean, we've only talked about a couple, but any other random center wings you got on your pod list?
No, nothing major. As I said, Greg Marju has been fantastic, but he's not in pod territory. He's at 20%. Otherwise, you're sort of getting into the cheaper realm. Alex Johnson is always a good play. He's got big try-scoring ability, but when he doesn't score tries, he's almost non-existent. So it's, you know, it's very rocks or diamonds with Alex Johnson. And Dan Tupou could be good if he misses Origin, but I don't think that's going to be the case.
Big Gussie loves him, so there you go. I'd be avoiding the big Toops. How's old mate Jermaine Asaku? 330K in cash made so far this year. What a weird year.
It's ridiculous. So at the start of the year, he was almost cheapy priced, basement priced, and the question between him and Hammer, and everyone went, well, you've got to go Hammer because he's playing more in the middle, and he'll see more of the ball, and Sarko is pretty much just a goal kicker, but he's been scoring tries for fun.
Sort of pivot away from center wing for a minute. Harry Grant, scoring 70, so still the top averaging player, but a few people doing some rage trades, 119 break even. He's been traded out by maybe about 1,000 odd players, which isn't that much considering he's 45% owned. But Harry Grant, one of those guys, season-long keeper, right? If you look around the position, not a lot of value. A guy like Harry Grant, just ignore, keep in your side. What's the worst?
Yeah, I would have thought so. He's had a couple of low games this year, in 44 against the Tigers and then 31 against Manly last week, as you said. But, you know, Damien Cook's been similar. Reid Marnie is the third highest averaging hooker, and he had a 30 on the weekend. Rhys Robson the same. So, I mean, if you're trading down just to get some cash, you know, he's dropped under 700K, he's lost 120K of his starting price, so you're not making that much cash by going down to one of these guys. And, you know, his floor is really what most of these guys aspire to for a season average. So I don't see the reason to trade him out. I can understand the logic of it with Origin coming up, and maybe he's rested a little bit more. But, you know, previous years, the Storm had Cheese to fall back on when Grant went into Origin and couldn't back up. But, you know, this year it's Bronson Garlick, I believe. And it's just, it's not quite the same.
It isn't. The big clove, Bronny Garlick, coming in. But I have a look at some of the other options. JMK, Jeremy Marshall King. Talk about strange years and just players going to the next level. But he's got three scores of 70-plus, obviously missed a bit of time throughout the middle of the season. But I think if I had a billion trades, unlimited trades, whatever, I might be doing the Grant to JMK with this run-up and with Origin and all that kind of thing. But I just can't justify in this limited trade window. And we know how good Harry Grant is. He's had a bit of a lull. But as you said, just got such a, in terms of hooker, quality floor, a lot of room to grow. Hang on. But if you, you know, for whatever reason, have fallen asleep at the wheel, got a fair few trades, Jeremy Marshall King could be a guy. Decent break even.
Huge. It's funny. The Dogs moved on from him because they signed Reid Marnie, and he was by far the better hooker. And then last year happened, and Jeremy Marshall King, I think, outperformed Marnie on the season. And he's really taking his game to another level this year. The only bad score he's had was round two against the Raiders. He dropped a 30, 33 or 35 or something, but he got injured. So he missed the next couple of weeks, and he's come back as good, if not better, than he was going to be. So, you know, there's every chance, as far as average and, you know, maybe season points go, that JMK ends up as the hooker too on the year.
Alrighty, turning attention to second row forwards. A fair few potential trade-outs this week. I'm looking at my own side. Eli Katoa, Zach Hosking, Preston, Teague Wilton. Those are my top four. And in terms of, I guess, absolute out-and-out ceiling, not a lot of height there. But if you look at guys I don't have, top of my list, David Fifita and Ryan Madison. So would you argue that point there, those two, if you're going to look at targets for this week and you can afford to move on a Dury or whoever to afford it, is there anyone else you'd consider?
No, not at the top end. Those guys will be coming in for me hopefully before too long. Madison, I was probably ahead of Fifita in my book only because he's a little bit cheaper. You save 20K, I think it is, between the two. So it's really chump change. But he's also only 2% owned to Fifita's 25-ish. And if he misses Origin, which he tends to do, the Blues are sort of stacked throughout the middle and whatnot. So Madison never really gets a look in, and he plays those three major buy rounds, whereas Fifita will probably be on Origin duty. So you'll get a fair few more games out of Madison than you will for Fifita. So if I was really targeting the two and couldn't split the decision, it would come down to that availability over the next 2 months that Madison gets the flag.
I guess with Maddo, you got the concussion history would be one. As you said, I don't think Origin is a huge risk, but I think the thing that would give me a little bit of pause is the fact that they've shuffled that pack around. So it's like last week, you got Hopgood in there, Maddo to the edge, and then back through the middle. It's just a strange time, and you got Cardi and that sort of thing floating around. I just don't know what Brad Arthur's going to do week to week. And that's a slight concern.
You have no idea. I mean, so Madison, as you said, he went from lock to edge last week. And then when, you know, they bring on Cartwright and Hopgood goes off, Cardi goes to an edge and Madison plays through the middle. So he played 61 minutes, according to NRL.com, and he still dropped to almost 90 points. So he just was huge. Gets through the work regardless. But, it could falter at any stage. But from what I've seen, this is the Madison that we've fallen in love with over the last couple of years. This is back at sort of Tigers level of form.
I don't know. I think if I was to toss a coin and I didn't think about buys, I'd be going for Fifita, 80 minutes. Mm-hmm. Hasn't yet had a really big game. I said that the last couple of weeks, but hasn't yet scored a try for one. And then still, despite looking really good, hasn't had a breakout game. Had a 96 against us where he fed a couple of balls to Pereira, but other than that, he's been very consistent without going ballistic. So I just think that's around the corner.
Well, that's the thing. We've always been saying it. Use Dave Fifita. He's so dangerous. Just use him. And they never have, but they are this year because I think only because Bo Firma's out injured.
Yep.
So Fifita's really benefited from that, and his work rate has gone through the roof, and he's still putting runs on, and he's putting his outside backs through gaping holes because everyone focuses on him. So once he does get across the line, and I'm predicting it happens this week with the Dolphins, that South Queensland Derby, he'll go 120 plus.
No, it's one of those things. As soon as he scores a try, it's going to be absolutely all guns blazing. But I'm keenly eyeing that off and hoping it doesn't happen. All right, just to round us out here, mate, we've talked about some centre wing guys, but the top end of the scale, looking at downgrade options, because there's a fair few players middling, you know, that 300 to 500K sort of mark that a lot of people are looking to move on. Have you done any analysis on cheapies or anything like that at this juncture?
What analysis is there to
sorry,
do?
Have you almost opened-
no, sorry. There's to my point, there's no cheapies really available to us. There's you've got Hayes Dunster playing on the edge for on the wing for the Eels, I should say. So he's probably in my eyes the pick of them. But in saying that, he's scored a seven in week one, his first game, and then like a 30 or something last week. So they can put on points, and they showed that against who did they tell up the Dogs last weekend. But
and he scored 27. Dunster
scored 27. He didn't feature much at all. So I think it's like any young outside back. They only got to fall over the line and then they'll get some points. But so it could come with him, but I'm not confident by any stretch of the imagination. Jared Croker is somewhat appealing. He did nothing as far as attacking stats went last week and scored a 40 because he's still pinpoint accurate with his goal kicking. And, very much an injury risk week to week. So, yeah, there's no one that really stands out as a downgrade option. I mean, if you've traded out Paul Olamide, and then want to get him back, he's dropped down to 350K. Maybe he is the benefactor with Jacob Carraz out. But
still don't think he scored a try either or scored above 50. Yeah. So, again, one of those players.
He scored a try
last week. Yep.
Yeah,
no, you're right.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so he scored a try and got to 40 points, I think. Where is he? 45. So it's still not breaking any sort of rookie records or anything like that. Rob Jennings for the Dolphins, but then you just know someone's going to come in and steal his wing spot sooner rather than later. That's sort of been the MO there at Redcliffe, I wanted to say, but that's not quite
the,
right.
It's the mate.
They're playing out of the same city as the Warriors.
Huge.
No one really. I'm sort of still waiting for Valence Tavare to come into first grade. He's on the extended bench every week, but is out at first cut. So hoping they get a few injuries, nothing serious, obviously, but Valence gets his chance. And as I said, Jarrell Skelton has been a name that's been floating around first grade circles for a little while. Could be not too long before he gets a chance.
Have a look at some halve options in terms of cheapie. So last week I fortuitously traded in Phoenix Crossland, who scored 52 with a try in about 70-odd minutes. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much for your service. But otherwise, Brandon Wakeham filling in for Duehi and also Cody Nikarima. Talked about the Dolphins having a decent run, 235K, 5'8 hooker. Couple of options there. If you were to throw a dart because it's a dire old week for cheapies or rounds coming up, Wakeham, Crossland or Nikarima, who are you landing on?
I think I'd go with Wakeham. Not confidently by any means, but with Dewey out, someone's going to take goal kicking. Potentially that's Brendan Wakeham, so he might get an extra 4 points a week from his one shot at goal. Penalty early on and they never score again. But yeah, it's, as you said, it's dire. If Josh Schuster was to actually make his return, he's only played the two games, so there's plenty out there who haven't traded him in. He's owned by half the competition, which means half don't have him. But he could be one as a downgrade at the 5'8 position. But other than that, it's really dire.
Absolutely is. I mean, yeah, just hoping like hell that some guy like Crossland comes and scores a try. But I think I'd go nowhere near any Tigers player. If I was to take a punt and I didn't already go the mighty Phoenix Crossland, Cody Nikarima, probably not a bad shout. Tough game last week against the Bunnies, but there and thereabouts. And Katoa, the halves partner, not doing a hell of a lot. No. So I don't know. I don't mind Nico, 5'8 hooker. A little bit I'd prefer if he was halfback, but not to be. All right, Lackey, any final trade in and outs before we go into captains?
No, we spoke about Gazuski and Croker, as plenty of people are inquiring or buying them, but you've got another week to look at both those guys. Well, Croker's played too, but he's on the buy, so don't do these trades just for the sake of doing a trade. You can wait a week and see what happens. As we said, Croker's a chance of getting injured, getting out of bed. So it could happen over the next 2 weeks and then you're left without a center wing there. So just hold fire if you don't need to do it.
Yep, don't come to Cloudland Nightclub again, Jay Croker. Rest easy. That's be back right. for your third game. That's yeah, right. that is. Great story. Great story for long-time listeners of the pod. All right, captain's advices. In your article, you had a thought on what would be an ideal scenario if you have the, I guess, yeah, non-playing reserves.
If you've got it available, the first thing I'd be doing is throwing the VC on Nicho Hynes against the Dogs. That game could be anything with him. And then if he fails to go for 300, back it into Turbo against the Tigers. As I said, that could be a huge game for Manly. They just beat Melbourne down at Four Pines. I know how they had a bad game the week before against South, was it? No. But yeah, he really struggled, but he could go absolutely gangbusters against the Tigers on Sunday afternoon.
I don't mind, like, as good as Turbo is and the Tigers and everything, Reece Walsh in Darwin against the Para Eels, who have been a bit leaky at times. I think that could be one of those games. I think I remember back in the glory days last year when the Cowboys towered up Para in Darwin, a lot of points late in the piece. So I'm keen to look at Reece Walsh this week and go a little bit more dangerous, but I just think he'll probably sit on about 20 and it'll be a nightmare, but then just give it the last 5 minutes and he'll come up with 115 points. So for
that's what he's been doing. I've been watching his games and just waiting for him to fall off a cliff. And for, you know, three quarters of the game, you're laughing. And then he puts two guys over and scores one himself and ends up on a ton. So he's always there and thereabouts. He's always probing and trying. The thing that concerns me with that matchup is, yeah, the Eels have been leaky and they're allowing 70 points per game to fullbacks this year. But it was really the first 4 weeks that they did it. You know, they allowed a 76, 106, 103, and 82 across the first 4 weeks to their opposing fullback. The last 3 weeks, it's been 22, 69, do you think?
Cool.
And 25. So they have won three of the last four games. They only lost to Melbourne, I think it was. And, yeah, they've been keeping guys quiet along the way. So if they are back, it's going to be a tougher night than the Broncos have had for most of the season. And maybe Reece Walsh doesn't get his way, but the Broncos are looking, I hate to say it, they're looking good as well.
It is very unfortunate. One final one for me, Greg Marju against the Cowboys. We are dreadful, just in every single facet. Somehow you're outsiders.
We really. There you go. Maybe because it's up in Townsville and we don't really travel up there that well.
Yeah, we've been so good up there. But Marju, 100 points plus.
I'll be definitely chucking a cheeky $5,000 on that one. I'd say I'm excited about Marju, his attacking prowess, what it is. Defensively not great, but you don't get points for, you know, not even laying a hand on an opposing player.
Now, he's got Kyle Felt running up alongside him. I don't think he's got much to worry about defensively, but anyway.
And with Kalen Ponga back, a lot of eyes will be on him, and he's got that patented right-to-left cutout ball. Marju's probably good for two this week.
Keen to see it sail over the sidelines. But anyway, welcome back, KP. And welcome back, Lakey. Hey, what a coincidence. Hey, your boy and my boy. Love to see
That's it. That's it. I just had to wait. Had to wait until he was back. He got his right head right, and I'm trying to get mine right. So we're good.
Well, you know what? I'm glad it's pre-game, and I still have a bit of hope, given we're favourites. I mean, bookies obviously know all. So looking forward to it. We'll be at the wedding. We'll not be paying any attention. I will have you on block. Looking forward to it. Lakey, great to have you back, buddy. Hope to hear more of your voice going forward. So, I mean, we've turfed Stilesy, turfed Alex. It's just you and I again, babe.
Yeah, it is good, isn't it? It's like old times. I've got the candles lit here, a glass of Shiraz sitting by the fire. It's beautiful.
I've heard sirens outside both of our windows because you're not far from me Southeast Queensland here. So I've heard sirens. I've heard dogs barking. It's all happening. Scenes when Lakey and JT get back together. Love to see it. Anyway, mate, I'll see you in, hopefully not the long too distant future. Stone's Corner just around the corner, mate, in the name. But looking forward to catching up.
I'm going to track down that wedding on Saturday.
Oh, mate, please. I'll need someone that speaks English. Looking forward to it. Anyway, mate, actually, win or lose. All right, mate. Lovely to chat. Have a great week, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.